to Art If, the podcast about art, life, and everything in between.
Today we talk about Provocation 8 from Jasmine Henry Jordan. Inspired by a collaborator's play entitled Play for a Friend, Jasmine's provocation challenged us to make art for the future generations. We were to ask a child in our life what kind of art they wanted to see and then make it. We were to offer it up for their feedback, take the feedback seriously, and then remake the art. In this mini-sode, Hattie and I share our experiences, embracing the playful and absurd suggestions that children make and taking them very seriously. Both of our art projects led to a wonderful and generous intergenerational exchange.
All right. So we haven't done one of these in a while.
No, mini-sode.
We've been having... Yeah, this is mini-sode...
Eight,
yeah. Even though seven hasn't come out yet, this is eight.
So thanks, Jasmine, for this provocation, which...
Right.
Oh, don't we do that in the intro? Don't we, like, say that shit?
Yeah. Okay, so we'll just jump into it then.
Yeah.
So who did you ask?
I asked my best friend's daughter. And I think she's going to hate me. I think she's eight, nine, something like that. I can't remember how
old
she is.
Okay.
So I asked her what she wanted to see. And she asked me to choreograph a dance to Ariana Grande's Break Up With Your Girlfriend.
And this dance was amazing, I will say. I saw the first version.
Am I just going to keep talking?
I don't know. I mean, do you want me to then say who I...
Yeah, no, who did you ask? Okay.
So I also asked my best friend's kids, but they're brother and sister. And so the daughter is about to turn eight. And the son is about to turn six. And I had been doing acting classes with them during quarantine. Fun. And it was very clear that they have, like, 6 and 8 or, you know, 5 and 7-year-old humor. And that came out a lot in the acting lessons. So I was very certain what they would ask for when I asked them.
You even predicted in advance.
I did.
You told me... So I told you that I was going to do this dance, and
I laughed really hard.
Yes,
and I was like, "That's not very nice." Yeah.
But then you said, "Don't worry, mine will almost definitely be about farts."
Farts. Yep. And I was 100% right. So they asked for a play named... They called it a scene named "The Art of the Fart."
That is so amazing.
Yeah, The Art of the Fart.
So, how did you feel about that?
Well, I wasn't surprised, but, you know, as a grown woman, and I'm not above this. I mean, like, I love Commedia dell'arte. Like, I can laugh at, like, a well-timed, you know, what's the word I'm looking for? Scatological joke. However, I'm like, how do I do this? And, like, how do I make a narrative? And so I tried to elevate it as much as possible and, like, take it as seriously as possible. That was my intent. So, rather than just, like, make a video or a play where I'm farting all the time, I wanted it to be, like, a silent film.
Oh, no.
Where farting was some of the only noise that you heard. And so that's what I did. I made a silent film. And the narrative of the film was that there was an artist who was trying to paint something but kept farting and messing it up. And so he gives up. I know. So he decides, he's like, you know what? I fart too much. I can't be a painter.
Oh.
And so he gives up. And but then, so in musical theater, right, you know the concept of a dream ballet, yeah?
No, tell me about that.
Okay, so, like, in Oklahoma is the most famous one.
Okay.
And basically what it is the plot is moved forward through the dream ballet. So it's not stuff that actually happens, but it's this device that moves the play forward. So in Oklahoma, for example, Lori's supposed to go to the dance with Judd, but she's scared of Judd, and Curly likes her too. And in the dream, she sees like truths about Judd and truths about Curly that like allow her to make her final decision, even though it didn't actually happen. It's some sort of like symbolic insight, but it moves the plot forward. Without it, like the plot would be different.
Okay.
So being a musical theater scholar, I was like, I really want there to be a dream ballet. So
the premise dancing? Was... dancing?
Well, the farts are dancing.
Yay! And
so the
so
the idea was the artist goes to sleep, gives up painting, and then, like, in his sleep, the farts make the most beautiful painting that's ever been seen. So it's through... So, and, you know, there's a good moral to this story.
So he's supposed to just embrace his flaws.
That's right. This is exactly right. So it's, like, a really pretentious silent film. Yeah. With a dream ballet that functions in order for the artist to realize that his weakness is his greatest strength.
Oh.
So that is what... I made, and I got some help with the production of that.
That is amazing.
Yeah. So they loved it. They watched it 3 times and laughed hysterically, and I'll tell you about the feedback section after I hear about your process.
All right. So, yes, I was making a dance to Ariana Grande's Break Up With Your Girlfriend, which if I was choosing to choreograph a dance, I would never choose... that song.
And it was like a specific type of dance, right? Like a jazz.
Oh, yeah.
Was
she said she wanted a jazz tap ballet.
Okay.
And okay. So I tried to work in those elements, but I am here in Virginia right now with Joel. And so I only have a small amount of my stuff, and I do not have a single pair of shoes that does not have a rubber sole.
Oh, that's hard. Right? That's hard
to dance
in. All I
bought are my Birkenstocks and my boots and my like flip-flops. Like, that's all I have. And my rain boots. So, all rubber soles. So, I didn't really have the means to do tap. So, I just tried to do ballet and jazz. And I tried really hard to, like, commit to those forms. So, I took ballet and jazz when I was a kid. And I've watched enough So You Think You Can Dance to think I can dance.
You're like, yeah, I think I can dance.
Yeah, you're right. But I did some YouTube and tried to learn some clearly balletic sequences, clearly jazz sequences. And I put them together and I also decided just to do the chorus of the song because I was like, I can't do this for 3 or 4 whole minutes.
Yeah, that's long. That's a workout.
Yeah, because I have choreographed before and it's a lot of work.
It's a lot of work.
So, yeah, I just did the chorus. And
okay. Yeah. So what did she think?
She was really cute. She was like, I like your dance. I think it's cute. And then she showed me some new choreography and said, maybe you could do this.
Okay. And so then how did you incorporate that feedback?
I studied her choreography on Marco Polo and tried to learn some of her moves and interjected them in the parts of my choreography where I had, like, put moves that I couldn't actually execute. Like, I tried to do, like, a reverse attitude turn.
Okay.
Or pirouette or something, and I just was not landing it, and I just kept falling. So in place of that, I put some of her choreography, and the thing that was really nice about it is she likes the song, and so her choreography really captured the attitude of the song in a way that mine was, like, just pirouette and do a plié. And make it go to the music. I wasn't really thinking about...
But that was partly probably because it was like jazz ballet, you know, like you had sort of confines of what that meant.
Right. And instead of like listening to the song, I just tried to put those forms into the song.
Right.
Whereas her conception of ballet and jazz is just like, well, it's just different, right? Because she's 8. And and she's also thinking about it in terms of, like, pop dance. And so her moves are a little more poppy and capture that attitude and, I think, spirit of the song in a way that mine didn't. And it made me Well, I was really inhibited, I think, in terms of that style because it's pop, and so it's always like sexy dance, right? It's like hip
and you're making this dance for a child, too.
Right?
It's not like
Well, when I first started making the dance, I did some choreography, and then I was like, no, Rory's gonna think this is stupid.
Oh, so you had her like
I did
in okay,
and so I changed some of the things and tried to make it like cooler. And then she made it cooler.
Okay.
So the moves that she added are actually really fun. And I think made it better for sure. Made it better. Yeah.
That's awesome.
So what was their feedback like for you?
So I asked for feedback. I said, tell me how to make it better. Like, let me know. And what I got instead was three different remakes of the film.
Three?
Yeah, because their friend was over.
So they each remade it.
They each remade it. So they each took turns where they, like, were painting, and then they gave the painting to someone, and then they farted, and then they wrote a note saying, like, sorry, I farted.
Yeah.
Like, because that was, like, the structure of the film. So
adorable. It
was pretty adorable. Well, it was interesting. So they added dialogue. They're like, oh, I'm making a painting for my mom. Oh, I'm making a painting for my uncle. Right,
so the silent film aspect was lost on them.
Was gone, right. They wanted to explain what they were doing.
Did they ask you why you couldn't remember your lines?
Well, I mean, it was funny. I was watching this, or I read a headline. I didn't even read an article, but it was saying how in times of Zoom, I know, in times of Zoom comedy, it was talking about stand-up comedy. It was like mugging is really in because it's all about like faces.
Oh.
So I think that's maybe also where the silent film came into it was like I felt like maybe I'm just used to doing because it was very like overacted. Mm-hmm. It wasn't like realistic at all. The other thing I thought was interesting is there was a change. So at one point, like, right, there's the dream ballet where the artist goes to sleep, but in every rendition they did, the person they were giving the painting to was asleep.
Oh.
So I don't know if that was, like, an intentional rewrite or just, like, a mix together or, like, parents are always asleep when you want to give them a painting. So that was interesting to me, that structural change.
Yeah.
Like, the painting never arrived.
Huh.
So,
How interesting.
But
cool.
But then what was even cooler was the next day, I guess they were so inspired that they opened up an art store. They had painted and drawn and made things all morning. And, you know, my best friend texted me and she was like, oh, you've inspired little artists. She's like, they made an art of the fart art store.
So adorable.
Then the older kid was like, actually, this is too immature. So they called it the everything art store.
Oh.
So they already are like, farting is no longer funny. I'm over it.
You played it
and
out.
Now, oh, and the best thing about the fart ballet is I Googled like farting classical music and there was a Beethoven 5th fart cover on YouTube. So like, proof that you can fart. Right, like, yes. And it was like, literally you can find everything on YouTube. Like anything you want is on YouTube. One other thing is there was a literal farting artist who used to fart as a career, as a live performance.
What?
In early French vaudeville circuits.
Like, of course.
He performed right. But he would like fart music and things.
Wow.
Yeah, so now am pretty well versed.
Yeah. I don't even know how to respond to that.
I know. So there's just all sorts of interesting facts. But I'll just say I have one more thing to say that I loved this provocation. Like it was more work than some of them, but it felt like a gift. Like I was giving a gift to these kids, and I've given them like Christmas gifts and birthday gifts and things. But like this is a gift they're going to remember and, like, was meaningful and was tailored to them and made at their request. And so I just think it's so cool to ask them what they want and give it to them because at the end of the day, they probably don't want another, like, video game or whatever it is. So, like, I just thought that was so lovely.
Yeah, it was a really lovely provocation. I felt intimidated by it because I don't interact with kids very often.
Yeah.
But It was also lovely because I think we get into habits about our the way we think and the kinds of creativity we engage in. And I think in both our cases, they really pushed us outside of our comfort zones and asked us to engage in something and to be playful and to have fun and to remember that, like, we are working artists, and so it becomes our work, right. But it should also be fun.
It should be fun. Yeah. Right, totally. Yeah, yeah, that's a lovely lesson.
Don't forget to share your provocations with us by tagging us on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter at #ArtIfPodcast. Also, subscribe so you never miss an episode. And if you get a chance, rate and review us. It would really help us out.
Art If Podcast is produced by
Hattie Cry
and Yasi Jahanmir.
Our theme music was composed by Muhammad Abdul Salam.
Follow us at Art If Podcast on Twitter, Instagram, and Facebook to stay up to date on upcoming episodes and to join our vibrant community of artists.